Well, Sauk City and Prairie du Sac will hold the 22nd annual Bald Eagle Watching Days this Friday evening and on Saturday. So it's January 16th and 17th. Friday night celebration kicks off at 7 o'clock, and we'll talk about the event. We'll talk about bald eagles with our two guests, Jeb Barzin of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council of Sauk City, and Randy Jurowitz, endangered resources biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources in Madison, our guests. And they come by at least once a year to talk about bald eagle days and to talk with you and I about bald eagles. And so we can talk a little bit about what makes a bald eagle so great, and talk a little bit about them as animals that we have here in this world. And we can also talk with you about Bald Eagle Day. So I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Give us a call. Send us an email. We'll be glad to visit with you. Jeb, welcome back. Nice Thanks. To have you with us. And Randy Jurowitz, welcome to you again.
Good morning.
Great to have you guys with us. This is the 22nd annual Bald Eagle Watching Days, starting this Friday.
Yep, we were young pups when it started.
You guys have been there the whole time, haven't you, Randy?
Yes, we have. It's been a great partnership between the Chamber of Commerce, Fairy Bluff, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and the people of Wisconsin, you know, and the Upper Midwest. Actually, we draw people from all over the Upper Midwest when we can tell them that yes, you come, and you will be able to see bald eagles, both in the wild and up close at the Birds of Prey Show, the free Birds of Prey Show. That's the other thing, is that this whole event that we sponsor there is free. And it's our way of saying thank you to the public. Thank you for donating on the tax form. Thank you for buying those wolf license plates. You know, thank you for coming to the Sauk Prairie area and participating in the event.
And it's Friday. It starts at 7 o'clock Friday evening.
David Stokes is a humorist and has lots of fun information that he provides in a way that I don't think you'll ever experience anywhere else.
Very interactive. Yep.
So he talks, and he talks about eagles, and he talks about wildlife, and
he talks and about eagles and snakes and other kinds of birds, and he has mammal pelts out there and all kinds of fun things. But he weaves it together in a story that's quite fun. If you've ever, for example, wanted to see what it's like to see a snake comfortably coiled up on top of a guy's head, you come see David Stokes, and he'll explain why that even makes sense.
And that's a free event.
That's a free event.
Yeah, both Friday night at 7 o'clock and also again on Saturday afternoon.
He'll be talking. And yep. And where will this be taking place in?
It's in the River Arts Center in the Sauk Prairie community. Of course, Sauk Prairie isn't on the map, but Sauk City and Prairie du Sac are, and this is at the high school. So it's pretty much right in the center of the two towns. And everything is focused out of there for the inside activities. And then the outside activities, there are maps that tell you where it's good to go and where you can see eagles quite well without disturbing the birds.
Oh, perfect. And guided tours then on Saturday, I'm pretty sure, Randy?
Yes, free guided tours. Show up at the River Arts Center, go across the Highway 12 bridge, turn right up Water Street, turn left on Grand Avenue. It'll take you right to the high school. You can start there. We'll give you maps, and then you can also sign up for either the bus tours. They begin at 9 o'clock in the morning, every hour on the hour, a free bus tour, so you don't have to drive around town. You know, we will drive you around town and show you the hot spots for viewing bald eagles.
And now, do you bring your binoculars, I assume, if you've got them? And
yes, and if you don't, we will have spotting scopes at the Overlook site, so you can use our spotting scopes to view the eagles right there in town.
Perfect, and it's this weekend. Starts Friday night, 7 o'clock, so it's only a couple days away, and there it is. Holly in Elm Grove has a question for you, so let's go to Holly. Holly, hi, thank you for calling.
And good morning. I have some property up north, and I'd love to make it more hospitable for eagles. I am on a trout stream, and there's lots of forest around me. Is there anything I can do to make it more attractive?
Habitat.
It's hard to do things specific for nesting habitat because in part the birds need a large area, but certainly you improve your chances if your land is by a lake. Now, you can't go out and create a lake, but if you're by a lake or a large stream, those are the kinds of things that are providing the food for the fish. The food for the fish. How about the fish for the food of the eagles during their breeding season? But one of the things that you can do, for example, if you have older or larger stands of trees on your property, you can protect them and keep them from being cut, for example. Even if they're dead, sometimes letting them stand can be very good because birds then will tend to build their nests on larger than average trees in the forest canopy. And so if you have that sort of thing on your property, that can help. Eagles can be sensitive to disturbance, and so if it's a back 40 that you have and you reduce activity during the nesting season, which in northern Wisconsin would be March and April, that might induce birds to nest as well. But it's a function of the overall landscape as well as a specific thing that you might find on your property.
Well, then I'll try to keep low.
Well, keep low and build those lakes out there.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Holly, for calling. Matt in Lansing, Iowa. We're on to you now. Hi, Matt. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. My question is, I've been working the past few months there in Lansing, just south of Lansing on the river, and I don't want to say it's a problem, but the younger birds, the ones that don't have the white heads yet, They're not exactly buzzing me, but is there anything I'm doing that's causing them to get real close to me, or are they just showing off?
Are you out there fishing?
No, but I work right along the water.
Oh, okay. They're probably just foraging along the river and trying to find food. There wouldn't be a reason why they would actually be flying close to you intentionally with you, the focus of how they're flying. But
I was told that it's because the canvasback ducks are right there next to me that maybe that was what was attracting them, or to stay out of the area when the ducks are there?
The ducks can attract them, and especially with the immature birds, because the immature birds are immature. They need to learn. And many of the things that they learn, for example, are that just a duck on a water is not necessarily something that they can successfully catch. And so they often learn, even through their first winter, that they have to be choosy about who they go after. And so you'll, as birds get older, you'll see them take less silly attempts at trying to catch birds that they really can't capture. And so, yes, they could be going for ducks that are there. They also can be going for fish that they find there, or even other things that might be floating in the water.
All right. It's right by a warm water outlet, so maybe that... I appreciate the answer. Thank you for your help.
Thanks very much for calling. And I've mentioned this on the program in the past, but I'll mention it again. On Lake Monona here before ice, there was an eagle dive bombing a coot and would go back and forth and back and forth. And the coots would go under and then come back, pop back up again. And here's the eagle again coming in on them.
Sometimes when there's groups of eagles, they'll even be both doing that, so it's more effective hunting strategy when there's more birds. I'm not really trying to say that they necessarily work as a team, but they'll do that. But one of the interesting things is when you watch the birds in Sauk Prairie, for example, the birds are perched there all day long, the ducks are there, and they seem to ignore each other. And of course, they're not ignoring each other. They all are quite well aware of each other and what each other is doing. But as long as nobody makes a move towards the other, peace exists. But all of a sudden, the birds, especially with adult birds, when they know that there's a little something off on the birds, then all of a sudden they will harass the animal for a long time in order to try and capture it. And there's something, a cue that they get that allows them to say, maybe I have a chance here. But otherwise, they'll ignore the birds.
Yeah, Randy, comment?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's testing. And then when they find the one that is a little bit weak, maybe it's suffering from lead poisoning. Maybe it got shot or wounded during the waterfowl hunting season, something like that. But so they don't know until they do test them. And I'm sure that was going on. It's what you observed.
Yeah. Somebody told me, too, that they can really tire them out. If they keep at it and keep at it, they can tire the coots out.
Well, that's where the birds are healthy enough. A healthy coot, they often don't. It's cost them more energy than they're going to get out of that meal. to be able to do that with a healthy bird. Now, occasionally in the spring, you can see that when there are a lot of birds around. And so there might be opportunities where that can occur, but it's relatively rare in that they really need to wait for that bird to be somewhat compromised already, as Randy was saying, that it's already injured for a variety of reasons. And then all of a sudden they have an opportunity because that bird isn't at 100%. But 100% coot, even though coots aren't very good divers, they still are plenty good enough to
stay
avoid.
Away from an eagle. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd gotten my camera out to my video camera out there to take some pictures of it. But I had to leave to come and do my radio show. So
Saturday morning, beginning at 8 o'clock, Sauk Prairie area. You'll see that same type of thing over and over again out there. There's a lot of waterfowl in that open water area, as well as the eagles, and you see these interactions all the time out there.
What's the prognosis here for the number of eagles over at Eagle Watching Days this year?
It's pretty good. We did a roost count. Fairy Bluff Eagle Council did a roost count just last Sunday, and that's where we go to the various places where the birds sleep at night and count them as they fly into those night roosts from Sauk City all the way down to Lone Rock. And we counted 80 birds, 79 birds, and there was one roost that wasn't counted that probably had about 10 birds in it or so. So we have about 90 birds that are in the area. But with the really cold weather that we've had so far, much of the river is frozen. And so the birds, rather than being spread out from Sauk City to Lone Rock, which can be the case if it's warm, they're all concentrated where there's open water, which is in a very short stretch of river from the dam at Prairie du Sac down to about Fairy Bluff. And so there's very good viewing opportunities, you know, with 80 birds in the area.
I would think. How many birds do we have, eagles do we have in Wisconsin now, or do we think?
Well, the summer count of the nest count, we're looking at 1,150 active nests now, and this is this was enough to have both the state, you know, delist the bald eagle as an endangered threatened species, and the federal government delisted the bald eagle on their list in 2007. So, with 1,150 active nests in the state. We're talking, you know, times two in terms of adult birds at least. Each of those nests produce about 1.2 young. All of those young, pretty much very good survival. And so we've got these immatures, 2-, 3-, 4-year-old birds up there. There are thousands of bald eagles from Wisconsin.
And we'll talk some more about bald eagles coming up in just a minute. Celebrating bald eagles here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest Jeb Barzin of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council and Randy Jurowitz, endangered resources biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Celebrating eagles because the 22nd annual Bald Eagle Watching Days this Friday and Saturday at Sauk Prairie and Prairie du Sac, a chance for free to come and really view some the eagles, and also to participate in a lot of programs that are going on. Is there a website, by the way, where people can actually see all the events?
Yep.
Jeb?
You can go to www.fairybluffeaglecouncil.org. And or the easier one is www.saukprairie.com. And that's the Chamber of Commerce website, and that's easy to spell, so it's easy to get to. And it also identifies the third co-host of this event, which is the Sauk Prairie Chamber of Commerce, along with the Bureau of Endangered Resources and Fairy Bluff Eagle Council.
So not only will you get to see the eagles, but you'll get to watch a guy who's really funny talk about animals, eagles, and other things, and see some other demonstrations as well, if I'm not mistaken.
University of Minnesota Raptor Center will be there with a number of rehabilitated educational birds so that you can see eagles, and but also a wide number of other different raptors.
Yeah, they all have live raptors there. Exactly.
And Pat Manthe will talk about some Bureau of Endangered Research work that's been done with eagles, and Fairy Bluff Eagle Council will be there talking about data that we've acquired, and there'll be fun kid activities and a whole host of things.
Lots of things to do. Patrick in Minocqua is up with a question for you. Patrick, hi.
Hi. This is a great topic. I have a question. We were fishing, off of a bridge between a channel between two lakes. And there was a lot of eagle activity, and thank God I live up here. And yeah, I mean, they're very common during the summer months. So my question was that there was three to four adults, and they kind of cordoned off a section of territory. And the only thing we could surmise was that there were baby birds or younger birds that were learning how to fly, but they wouldn't allow them to leave a territory. If they started straying away, one of the adults would get off of a perch and literally go and chase the bird back into like this quarantine zone. I mean, we've never seen it. I've never seen anything like it. But there was had to be six baby birds or six young adults or younglings. Have you ever heard of anything like this?
Well, Jeff, Randy, what do you think?
I have not. No.
It's pretty unusual. To have six eaglets from one nest would be very unusual. They're doing well if they fledge three, and four is sometimes occurring, but six would be too many, so it might be indicative of two different nests. Now, unless the immature birds don't have the white head and the white tail, but there's subtle differences in the plumages, and an immature who's just fledging from its nest is going to look uniformly dark. With no white in the feathers at all that you can pretty much see. Now, it could be that some of these immatures were not immatures that had fledged that year, and that might explain some of it, and there might be some adults hanging around. But when the birds fledge, once they start flying, they're pretty mobile, and I've never heard of adults keeping them close at bay. It could be that if the birds were just prior to fledging, where they're exercising and that sort of thing, the adults might be very close to them and keep kind of close watch on them. But to actually chase them back to a perch, that's pretty interesting behavior.
Thanks a lot for calling, Patrick. Appreciate it. And let's see, Corey in La Crosse, your turn. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two questions, actually. First of all, I was up fishing in northern Minnesota this summer, and I was watching an eagle perch up in a tree, and he kind of did his normal dive bomb thing. But instead of grabbing a fish or whatever, he splashed in the water and stayed in the water. So I'm wondering if eagles have the ability to float like a duck would, or if he was just getting his skin in the water to cool himself down. He stayed in there for a couple minutes and then flew off. So I was wondering if he floated. And then second of all, I was wondering if you could comment on eagles and their scavenging characteristics and how much of their diet is made up of scavenging.
All right. I've actually seen an eagle in the water, too, and it sort of got itself to the land, but it looked kind of awkward out there in the water.
They go from grace to awkwardness in very quick succession when they actually go into the water. There's a number of things that can cause that. It's not very typical for an eagle just to kind of jump into the water in that way. They'll walk into the water, but to actually from a perch and to fly down and drop into the water on purpose is somewhat unusual. But they could try and catch a fish that's really big, that's too big for them to pull out, and so that would drag them into the water real quickly. Or they can make a mistake as to how deep they're trying to dip their talons into the water and, you know, make a mistake. And birds do make mistakes when they go into the water. But then once they're in the water, they are pretty aquatic and they can, as Larry said, they can swim to shore, although they look like they probably wouldn't like to do that. They wouldn't be a good swim Olympics right now by any stretch of the imagination. As far as scavenging goes, eagles are typically a carrion feeder. When you look at what eagles eat, it's somewhat important to know what time of year, so that they do a lot more scavenging in the winter period than they do in the summer period, although they will scavenge during both periods. But in the winter period, the birds are typically scavengers. But any time that I say typically, birds don't do average things when you look at individuals. Individuals do what they do best and what opportunities present to themselves, and they don't do kind of what the average is. So every time I say, oh, yes, eagles are scavenging, somebody will come up with this really unique observation of what eagles do. And the example that I trot out occasionally is when I worked on a wildlife information line, a woman from near Minneapolis, but on the St. Croix River, called and asked, like you did, well, what do eagles eat? I went into this long spiel about scavenging and that sort of thing, and there was this pause, and she said, huh, well, I watch this one adult, and every morning I feed my ducks corn on the riverside. But at about 9 o'clock in the morning, I watch this adult eagle fly up our residential street, but it flies below the roof line of the house. And when it gets to our house, it banks hard, flies up over the roost, and scares the ducks, and I see it catch a duck in midair. And then it eats the duck in my yard. Is that unusual? And, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but that's an example of an eagle who's not acting as an average eagle will act and takes advantage of an opportunity that it's learned.
Yeah, they're smart. They really are. But Corey brings up a good point in about scavenging, and it's one of the things that is actually kind of detrimental to bald eagles, especially in this time of year, because one of the leading mortality factors in Wisconsin bald eagles is getting hit by cars while they are scavenging on roadkill deer along the sides of roads. And, of course, at this time of the year, there's trees on both sides of the roads in northern Wisconsin, and also the snow banks along both sides of the roads. So if a motorist comes across an eagle feeding on a deer carcass, where does that eagle have to go to get away? Well, it's pretty much right across the road or right down the road. Mm-hmm. And it's what actually accounts for nearly half of the mortality that we document in eagles, adult eagles, that is getting hit by cars, as amazing as that may seem.
It's amazing. And I have actually observed in northern Wisconsin, I have along Highway 27 north there between Hayward and the Eau Claire Lake chain, I've observed two different occasions eagles feasting on roadkill deer right by the road. And, of course, you sort of slam in your brake. And for a motorist, you really don't see it until you have a hard time stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, nobody wants to hit one.
Right. And they're very slow in getting up, off the carcass.
So one of the good things about good eagle habitat are big open fields. So when you see eagles on the ground, they like to be in big open fields because they can see predators coming from a long distance. And they don't view cars as a predator, but it keeps them away from roadsides, which would be another open area where they're at risk.
Grace in New Glarus, it's your turn. Hi, Grace.
Hey, hello, Jeb. Hello, Randy. Yeah, this is the Grace you've worked with in the past. First off, I'd like to say that the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council has done a phenomenal job of gathering information on the eagle population there that is helping scientists in various endeavors. Huge help to me in the work that I used to do on the epidemiology of Wisconsin bald eagle syndrome, which is a malady that kills varying number of eagles almost every year in that region. So I just thought I'd ask the guys how things are going this year. Are you picking up any dead eagles, seeing eagles with seizures and such?
It's great that you mentioned that. It's the Lower Wisconsin syndrome, as you know, was a lot of birds were succumbing to it for almost a 10-year period. And but over the last, Randy, or we were musing on it, it's probably been 4 years or so since we've had any significant numbers of eagles found that have that syndrome. There is, I think, one bird that was recovered last year or two, the necropsies showed that, or it was difficult to determine what the cause of death was, and we aren't finding that many birds that are alive still and suffering the various maladies that they have with that syndrome. So we don't, as Grace has found, and with all the testing that has been done, we still don't really know what causes it and what it was due to, but for the last few years, it has not been a problem.
Hmm. All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's go to Charles in Potosi next. Charles, hello to you.
Hi. We recently moved to Potosi area, and we've been seeing quite a bunch of eagles, which is really a treat. Well, one day we come home, and out in the field there were about 15 or 20 eagles on the ground scavenging something, and probably another four or five in the air. But my question is, there were four or five of them that were a multicolored is that an eagle, or was I looking at something different?
Randy, what do you think?
If they were hanging with the rest of the eagles, they were probably eagles, but they're immatures.
Okay.
But probably 3, 4, maybe even 5-year-old birds that are getting their white head and white tail. So every year as they get older and older, they get whiter and whiter, much like some of us.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't, you know, I'm not familiar with eagles, and, you know, it's just something, wow, is this an eagle? Or, you know, I thought possibly it was an immature eagle, but I didn't know for sure. So I guess that answers my question.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Dave in Wisconsin Rapids emailed, wonders if eagles have a sense of smell or do they just spot roadkill?
Well, eagles have incredibly good eyesight, they can see much better than the human eye, and it's very difficult to translate how we perceive sight and how an eagle would perceive sight. But an example that I've found is when I've working in a wetland in China, I watch white-tailed sea eagles, which are closely related to bald eagles, and I saw one find a ruddy shell duck, which is the size of a goose, and it killed it, started to eat it. And I was doing a survey for cranes in my other life, and that survey of cranes, I was scanning with 10-power binoculars over the whole horizon, and all of a sudden I saw a speck on the horizon. And that speck, as it kept getting larger and larger, was a white-tailed sea eagle. And it had its wings set the entire time that I could see it, and it flew directly to this first white-tailed sea eagle eating the ruddy shell duck. And I went, wow, that bird clearly saw the bird on the bird on the ground with a food and was flying towards it beyond what I could see with 10-power binoculars. But what was equally amazing is that as I did my crane surveys through the afternoon, I had 7 other white-tailed sea eagles do exactly the same thing. So those birds at likely varying distance from this kill were all seeing the same thing well beyond my ability to see with 10-power binoculars and focused in and zoomed in on this bird with a kill. So their eyesight is just incredible compared to what we would typically see, even given the optics that the three of us around this table are wearing right now.
We have an email from Lori, and we'll get to Billy after this. But Lori wonders or says, we have a cottage on a lake where numerous eagles are present. I've noticed that when we have our small dog, 10 pounds, tied up outside in the yard, we can see the eagles circling above the cottage at a fairly low level. Are you aware of any reports of eagles trying to attack or carry away small dogs or cats? Anything we can do to discourage them from seeing our dog as prey? Randy?
Well, we have not. And in the past, when bald eagles were listed as an endangered and threatened species in the state of Wisconsin does pay for damages done by endangered threatened species. And all I can say is that for a number of years, the only damages that we did pay for were to trout farms where the eagles were doing what they do best, you know, eating fish. And we did have one farmer who was suffering some damage from an eagle coming down and eating little piglets, little tiny, just born piglets. Even a 10-pound dog is probably, you know, out of their prey range. However, they do look at things, you know, and they'll look at it and look at it and look at it. I wouldn't say an eagle would never attack, as Jeb would say never, would never attack a 10-pound dog. And so just being close to it is probably all I need to do to keep the eagle away from it. For the most part, they are not the predator that golden eagles are out west. Now, if we were dealing with a golden eagle population, I would say that dog would be definitely in danger.
Now, because a golden eagle can take a fairly large animal.
Golden eagle will even attack a fox or that sort of thing in Russia. They'll train golden eagles to attack roe deer or fox. And so they can be fairly much different in their prey-searching images. Whatever you do, do not put a sweater or sweatshirt on your dog that looks like a fish. That would be a bad idea in doing this. But in general, they probably are not at great risk to bald eagles.
Billy in Rochester, Wisconsin, your turn now. Hi, Billy.
Hi, how you doing? Nice program.
Thanks.
We got an eagle work in this area, and I was just wondering, how is there a male and a female, and how can you tell the difference, or is it are they solitary, or what?
Are you referring to the summer or the winter?
Right now.
In the winter, the birds can be solitary, or they can gather together in larger groups, depending on the kinds of foods that they're finding. There's considerable overlap in size between males and females. Males can be as small as 7 pounds and as large as 12 pounds, whereas females can be as large as 14 pounds, but can also go down to 8 or 9 pounds.
Oh.
So there's a lot of overlap. If you're looking very, very carefully at the birds, you can often tell a female because her bill tends to be, females in eagles are, and most raptors, are larger than the males, I should also say. And if you look at a female, her bill can be broader and thicker compared to the size of her head than what you would typically see on a male.
Uh-huh.
And so if you look really, really carefully, you can do that, but that requires a fair amount of familiarity with the birds before you can really distinguish that. But plumage-wise, there's no difference between male and female eagles.
Right. When do they mate up?
Well, we don't know a lot about that because we don't have a lot of marked birds out there. But what likely happens is the birds can possibly find mates any time during their annual cycle or any time during the year. But it's possible that males and females don't winter in the same place, and so that they don't necessarily reunite until they get back to their territory. And it's a territory that may bring them back together. But that's a lot of speculation on my part because we just don't have that many birds out there that have markers that we can see them repeatedly.
Right. This guy generally, he does his shopping on the river here. You know, I see him, he cruises the river along with the gulls, and when the gulls see him, they move.
They get out of the way.
And another thing, we have an osprey living up around Wind Lake and Wabasee up in that area, and he does a lot of shopping over on Wind Lake.
Mm-hmm. That's during the summer, right?
No, that's, well, I haven't seen him this winter yet, in the summertime, yeah.
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 Ospreys typically will migrate. There's occasionally you can see an osprey stay around a little bit later, but they'll typically migrate much farther south than eagles will move. You know, if you're going to be getting out of the way, if you're driving a Honda, you want to get out of the way of a semi. It's the sort of same thing with eagles.
Yeah, right. Okay, thanks a lot. Nice program.
All right, thanks, Bill. Bruce in Rice Lake, your turn. Hi, Bruce.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You had mentioned golden eagles before. I was just kind of curious, how common are golden eagles in northern Wisconsin?
Well, not very. We get reports of, from a lot of people say, oh, I saw an eagle. It did not have a white head and tail. Must have been a golden eagle. That's what I saw. And so, well, you know, as I mentioned before, we have thousands of immature bald eagles that do not have white heads and tails, you know, living in the state of Wisconsin. Every year, especially in winter, we will get, an observation or two of golden eagles, especially western Wisconsin, just east of the Mississippi River in some of those counties. But we do not have any golden eagles that we know of that are nesting in Wisconsin, and it's just this, winter transient that's in here. So most all the eagles that are in Wisconsin are bald eagles, and like I said, the immatures do not have the white head and white tail.
Just to give you an idea of the kind of mobility that the birds have and why it's typical that every year we'll see golden eagles in Wisconsin, but yet they are mostly immature birds. Bald eagles that have had radio transmitters put on them while they're in the nest in Arizona would fledge from their nest, and they flew up to Great Slave Lake.
That's a long way.
That's a very long ways. And we've had Brett Mandernack from Eagle Valley has captured birds on the Mississippi River near the confluence with the Wisconsin, and his birds, immature birds, are typically going up to the central part of Manitoba, but moving around greatly. They'll go up to the central part of Manitoba and then come back to southern Manitoba and then go back up to Hudson Bay. So these birds, especially as immatures, are highly, highly mobile. And so it's not really that unusual to think that golden eagles might be as mobile as immature birds.
Well, I hope this has gotten, it's gotten me excited about bald eagles. And I'll tell you what, this weekend's your chance to visit Prairie du Sac and Sauk City. It's the annual Bald Eagle Watching Days this Friday evening and Saturday all day. Friday night, we've got humorist David Stokes at the Sauk Prairie River Arts Center. Saturday's events, of course, you can see eagles all day long. There are free guided tours. There's also Pat Matthews' Eagles in Wisconsin program, the Birds of Prey from the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota, and a whole lot more. So all going on in the last 5 seconds.
There are also bus tours on every or other weekends also that you can do if you can't make Eagle Days, so that there's plenty of ways to get out and tour and see eagles.
See eagles. Jeb Arzen of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, Randy Jurowitz of the Department of Natural Resources, our guest. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.